Hey everyone, Brent Porsche from 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia here, and joining me now live in studio are two leading ladies that have been taking their unique fusion of rock and roll, electronic styling, and pure raw energy around the world for a few years now. Touring with bands like Stone Temple Pilots, Bush, and The Cult, behind hit singles like Pretty Waste and Beautiful is Boring and Girls Can't Play Guitars. And you ready for this? Their music has been described as salty and sexy, with blasts of whiskey-cured hellfire blues and frigid industrial grooves, paired in a symbiosis so airtight it could be spelled out in scientific notation. Yes. Initially born and based in London, now they're calling sunny Los Angeles home. From the band Bones UK, Carmen Vandenberg and Rosie Bones. Hello.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks so much for coming in to speak with us here at MMR. So have you guys been to Philly before?
We have.
Yes, we have.
Was this the whole Jeff Beck thing when you came through?
No. We were just here in November when we were at Palais Royal.
Oh, okay.
And then we were here on another tour as well.
Okay.
We like Philly.
Well, welcome back.
We like a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, have you had Carmen, any tries?
Yeah. Oh, Carmen's, yeah. Philly's. Carmen's is the best one, which we had. So
okay, no, there's a place called Carmen's. It's right. Not that she makes Philly cheesesteaks. No. There's a place called Carmen's, which was an amazing Philly cheesesteak.
In the market.
And it just so happens to be the best.
Ah!
Good stuff. All right. So a little bit of background on you ladies. As I mentioned, born and based in London. Carmen, you were born in Italy, though, right?
I was born in Spain, actually.
Oh, get out. Mm-hmm. So nothing to do with Italy.
I lived in Italy, but born in Madrid.
For a little bit before eventually making your way over to
London.
UK, London. Okay, excellent. would you guys like to rep the hood? I know you say you're from London, but I mean, you know, are you from a certain neighborhood in there? You want to rep it?
We're from, where we met, so where we always say we're basically from is from, I was born in Camden Town. So Camden Town is like North London. It's where like Amy Winehouse, it's sort of like very rock and roll.
Okay.
And that's where I'm from, and that's where me and Carmen met. So we always kind of say that that's where the band was born.
Okay.
It's Camden, North London.
You started making music together at what age?
We started making music together probably like 3 years ago. Yeah. But we took a year out to do the Jeff. We did a year doing Bones, stopped it to do another project, which was with Mr. Jeff Beck, and then we took it back up about a year ago, year and a half.
Okay. And Carmen, you started out playing violin before you were a classically trained guitarist. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, okay. I did. I started with the violin.
And Rosie, you started out on drums.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I'm a drummer too. That's super cool. Yeah.
No, I love drums. I love drums. I miss playing drums. I want to get better at it again.
Yeah.
I played cowbell recently. It kind of reignited the fire.
I always have such an affection for guitarists because I think of trying to keep your hands together and stuff. But with drummers, you have your hands, you have your feet, you kind of have everything going and you're moving all over the place. So very cool. So basically a year, like you mentioned, after getting Bones together, took a little bit of a break because you were off with Jeff Beck for the Loud Hailer record. You guys met him at a party?
Carmen met him at a party.
At Roger Taylor from Queen's birthday party. And Roger Taylor's birthday is on Friday, believe it or not. Mick Jagger, they share a birthday together.
Didn't
of course,
that.
Mick in town today. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the story?
I went over to his party and Roger was like, I want you to meet somebody. And Jeff was there. And I was a little bit hungover, but when I turned around, Roger was saying that, this is Carmen, she's a guitarist, blah, blah, blah. Carmen, this is Jeff. And I think the first words I ever said was, Jeff Beck. and then basically we started talking about the band and we had this gig in London.
We had this gig. It was like our second gig. So we had, and there was just like 10 people. And Carmen I met Jeff Beck last night. He's going to come down to the show. I was like, there's no way that he's going to come to the show. And this was like, it's like a third gig or something. So there was like no one in the crowd.
Right.
And then basically what happened is that we looked out when we were on stage and Jeff and his wife Sandra were there. Mm-hmm. This was it. And we're talking like, there was like 10 other people. So my parents, there was like no one there. And then after the show, he took us out for an Indian meal. And that night was like, I've got this tour booked. It's Madison Square Gardens. It's Buddy Guy supporting, which
is
insane. He was like, I've got this tour booked, but I need an album. You guys like just blew me away. It was like better than when I saw Zeppelin for the first time. We were like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then he was like, would you guys write my new record with me? And so then like, I think it was like the week later, we were up in his house and just wrote the record. And then we're suddenly touring with Jeff Beck around the world in Japan, stuff like that. So we stopped doing Bones for a year, basically, to do that.
And you mentioned that you had dinner with Beck. Is it true that, like, he would just stand there and rant about things? You just kind of jotted notes down?
Exactly,
and then that's sort of how some of the songs developed eventually?
Exactly that. Because, I mean, like, as far as, like, a lyricist for me, it was really important. There was a Jeff album, so I couldn't sing about, like, you know, making out with boys or, like, you know, like, stuff that, like, maybe would be more prevalent to, like, a young girl. So it was like, right, so Jeff, so what do you want to talk about? So we had a lot of, like, late nights with lots of Prosecco and, like, sitting there and just sort of, like, him talking. And me just trying to, like, take it that and thread it into his voice through me. I was like his outlet. So I just sort of tried to make, you know, whatever he wanted to talk about, turn it into songs.
Cool.
That was
so Loud Hailer, which was a huge creative jolt for Beck.
Yeah.
Of course, the hit single Live in the Dark, which you were featured on as well. We played heavily here on MMR for quite some time. Yeah. And then you guys toured with him. Was it like the full tour? It was like the Loud Hailer album cycle tour. You guys were out with him doing the thing?
Yeah, it was
like a good year.
Yeah, it was a year. But Carmen sort of became his rhythm guitar player. So she was like, she'd played in the whole set. So she was really stressed and sort of having to learn like the entire Jeff Beck catalog. You just sort of like would like punts on and do like the Loud Hailer songs and go and like drink whiskey in the back of my own and chat to people. And then like be like, oh, I've just got to go on and do another song. So it was like the Loud Hailer tour. But obviously there was like, a lot of Jeff's other fans wanted to hear his other stuff as well. So Carmen was had the responsibility of dealing with all of that, whereas I just sort of got to like walk on with the Loud Hailer shouting at people.
So Carmen, I got to ask, who else was at the party? Like, did you have any like fangirl moments that you was like, oh shit, there's so-and-so? I mean, had to have been like a like who's who of British rock royalty there or anything?
It wasn't that much really. It was like their family and friends and then obviously some other, Brian and then It wasn't that big of a party. It was very lovely and quite.
The most rock and roll party we ever went to, without a shadow of a doubt, was Mick Jagger's Christmas party. It was like Jeff called us up and was like, "Do you want to come to Mick Jagger's Christmas party?" It was like, "Oh my god, we want to go!" And it was like it couldn't have been better. There was like Ronnie Wood in like a red velvet jacket, like going like, "Merry Christmas, everyone!" It was like it was joyous.
And we had just played a show as well. We played a show with Band of Scars.
Oh yeah,
and then like. Arrives late with our jumpsuits.
I picture Mick Jagger in like candy cane tights, red and white striped tights or something.
They're like outfits made that Mick Jagger was like dancing on the floors at his house. It was like, this is like to Rockin' Robin. It was like, this is hilarious. That whole year for us with the Jeff thing, there was so many moments where it's just like, this is completely insane. And that kept happening for a while. And then it was kind of, we got to the end and we were like, right, we need to focus on us now. Because although that experience with Jeff was amazing, it was like, you know, we want every single person to be there for us, even if it's obviously much smaller. But we were like very excited to like move into the next stage of Bones and start doing it properly in America.
Sure. Well, just to wrap this part of the story up with Jeff Beck, he says he's quoted as saying that he considers himself lucky to have stumbled across you both.
Yeah.
So from that little musical career detour came the resurgence and revitalization of Bones, and which led to you guys going about being in this band with a little bit of a different mindset going into sort of Bones 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here we are in 2019. The self-titled album is out now. I have it right here.
Yes!
Super cool vinyl. Yes! Hell yeah. So we'll have to get you guys to sign this before you leave.
Cool.
But you have, it's the multicolored vinyl too, right? It's got the different colors. I'm a vinyl collector.
It's black and white, and the white represents Calm and the black represents me.
So cool.
So it's always about that duality with me and Calm.
So cool. So the reworked version of David Bowie's I'm Afraid of Americans, how did that make its way to the record?
We were on tour, I think, with Highly Suspect, and we got a phone call from our press guy, and he was like, Howard Stern is putting together a record in tribute for David Bowie's birthday, because I think they were good friends, a tribute to him, and they're getting lots of different amazing artists to kind of do it, and they need a young band, a kind of unheard of band, to do a song, and they asked us. So it was like, it was ridiculously cool, and then they sent us a song, I'm Afraid of Americans. We kind of didn't know it that well, but the moment we heard it was like, oh my god, this is
perfect,
absolutely perfect. So we just did it.
Yeah.
And we really loved it, so we thought we should put it on the record.
So cool. And I'm looking at the cover here, which Rosie, you designed, right? You're responsible for all this. To the people that are listening, what's the best way to describe this visual that you see on the cover here?
It's Playboy Bunny's gone bad. So it's like Revenge of the Playboy Bunny.
Okay.
So it's like the repression has gone too much and like, you know, and it's like they've gone really naughty and gone some fist fights.
I had like Showgirls Bunny meets like The Hangover.
You know, yeah, that's good. Like that's good.
The Hangover,
yeah.
All like that's disheveled good. And whatnot. But it looks like you guys were done rocking the hell out.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, which is super cool. And shout out to the Mighty Sumerian Records, by mm-hmm. the way. You guys mm-hmm. are on there. The Sphinx is real.
Yeah.
You have said that the Bones UK is as much of a concept or a piece of art uh-huh. as it is a band. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
When we started the band, like the whole thing for us is that we want like the music and the visual world to be kind of like part of the same thing. We think a lot of like, you know, we want people to understand in all senses what we're trying to say and what we're trying to do. So it's like as far as like the songs with the lyrics, we then want like what we look like, what the videos look like to all play into that same message. And I think because of like these days and always with music videos and stuff like that, especially these days, because there's so much content available like on YouTube and stuff, it was so important to us that every single bit supports the vision, and that some the music has to tie into the videos, has to tie into the album artwork, has to tie into the way that we look, tie into the shows. And once you sort of create this world, you know, we want our fans to be immersed in it.
It's the mystery and the imagery coming together with the pomp and circumstance.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool. With a message, though. Everything about your music has a message.
Yeah. It's really, like, we've always said, like, we don't have a big platform yet. We're going to, you know, we're a young band. But, like, whatever platform we have, we want to use it to say something. And that's, you know, that's just because we're passionate people and we're talking about things that affect us. And that's always important to us. We don't want to talk about things that don't affect us or don't make us feel passionate. And we want to use our platform, no matter how small it is, to say something. To empower people
sure.
or to make people feel something. And it's okay. Some people don't, and that's okay. That's one way of doing it. But for us, it's very important
right.
that we use this.
I'm sure living in LA gives you a lot of creativity and inspiration yeah, for yeah. some of the songs, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about vanity and like... Oh, yeah.
Did you guys play Gillette Stadium the other night?
No, Matt Deason got canceled.
Okay, because I saw it was like Gillette Stadium. I was like, that is a big ass venue for you guys to then mm-hmm. come in here and start doing the headline tour in the smaller clubs here.
It was a festival, but it got canceled.
Yeah,
right?
Unfortunately,
bummer. Well, you're playing the Milk Boy tonight
yes!
here in Philadelphia, 11th and Chestnut in Center City. Really cool, intimate venue. It's a super cool venue, especially for you guys. Shout out to my buddy Tommy Joyner, who's the owner over there. Doors are at 7:00. Showtime's 8:00. Tickets are $15 and still available at the door. You play in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Then it's off to Buffalo, where you guys jump on tour with the Glorious Sons and the Struts. That is going to be a killer run with you.
Yes.
Fans together, like, watch out. That's gonna be super cool. So one thing I did notice, though, including tonight's show at the Milk Boy, you guys have 7 shows in the next 8 nights, not to mention the interviews, the meet and greets and all that stuff too. That has to be rough. I mean, is it more mental preparation or is it equal physical? I know you say you don't warm up or anything, you just drink whiskey and you go out there and kind of do your thing. Yeah, I mean,
once you start, you just get into a role, and yeah. we love it. We love it so much. It's like we're doing our job. Going back on the road just feels like
home.
And it's like you have a purpose and a direction and everything. It's just like next show.
I almost calculated the miles that you guys would be driving from the 7 or 8 shows. I was like, it's too much math for me. But that's got to be crazy.
We've got a flight as well at one point. Yeah. We're going to do a festival with Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie. So we've got to fly in to do that and then like leave before they even play. But yeah. It's great. We love it. We're so lucky to be doing this, full stop. We're so happy and lucky to be able to do this, so we don't care. Like, we will work as hard as we need to.
And I think, Rosie, it was you that was quoted as saying, your pre-show doesn't include vocal warm-ups or stretches, but plenty of whiskey and chanting.
Yeah, maybe.
She paces around in circles as well.
I get quite scary, yeah.
So this might seem like an odd question to you guys, but I actually started putting this interview together before I actually started diving into like the music videos and all that kind of stuff. And I've always wondered, and this might seem like a weird question, but I've always wondered with female bands and artists and stuff like that, do you have groupies? Like, do you have like people that like, you know, will wait outside the tour bus, like dudes and stuff like that, or females, you know, whatever it may be.
Both.
But then, of course, I watched the music video for Beautiful is Born. I mean, that sort of answers that right there.
Yeah.
But does sex, drugs, and rock and roll, is that still a thing in today's musical society? I mean, it seems like a...
It's
dated or something. I don't know, but
it is with. You're very tired. Like you were saying, like I'm gonna go and like you know we're gonna have loads of sex and it's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be this like thing. But you're a lot of the time on tour, you're going from place to place so quickly. We have a good time for sure. Like but there is no doubt on tour, we all have a very very good time and we all you know we've been in New York for 2 days and we've had a riot already. We haven't even started the tour yet and we've all spent about $400 each on tequila shots. Like as far as groupies go. A lot of, we definitely do get them. Definitely less than, the boy bands that we've supported before, they get a lot more. Like, right. Definitely. Like, a lot of men are scared of us. Like, it's not really a thing that, like, boys like will come up and sort of, like, say something. Men are kind of a bit scared to approach us a lot of the time. So that kind of, like, dynamic isn't quite the same. We get a lot more girls, probably.
Right.
Than guys, really, right?
I just remembered years ago, I was backstage at a Crazy Town show of all bands, and they had this huge Samoan security guard, and he was standing at their dressing room door, and his question was like, basically, if you would bang me, then you can go in and hang out with the guys. But like, just the line of girls waiting, for this guy, and I just wondered if it was the adverse
I mean, I wish it was, but no. It's a damn shame it's not, but it's not, no.
Well,
but,
I mean, like I said, going back to the Beautiful is Boring music video, I mean, I guess we all get our treats before the show, and then we'll worry about what happens afterwards.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So Bones UK is set to perform at the legendary Austin City Limits Festival coming up in October. Have you guys done that before?
No, but we're very excited.
Some of the huge bands on the bill that weekend, Guns N' Roses, The Raconteurs, the day you guys play, Childish Gambino, who I think is excellent, The Cure is going to be there on top of it, which is amazing. Billie Eilish, Gary Clark Jr. I mean, that's got to be pretty cool for you guys.
We can't wait. You really wanted to. You were really adamant that we were doing this festival. Carmen was like a woman on a mission. She was like, "We are going
to
do.
We
this
have
festival.
To pay. That's the city limit.
So we got it
because we did. We're not doing Lala this year. Obviously, we're on this tour, but we've done that for 2 years, and it's like the next. Best option was like, we have to do Austin City Limits.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's legendary, for sure. Mm. So I know you guys have quite the affection for the blues, and you can definitely hear it in your songs as well, Carmen. I know when you met Jeff Beck, that was part of your conversation, was talking about Albert Collins, your love
first,
for him.
Yeah, I think his question was like, oh, well, I hear you like blues, and it's just expecting like the classic answer of just B.B. King or whatever. I think the common ground of the fact that I just said Albert Collins or whatever, and that's his favorite.
Right.
Kind of like, helped that.
Yeah, Buddy Guy's my favorite, but the Gary Clark Jr., I think he is just absolutely wonderful, and I'm so glad you guys are on the same bill with him. So there's many of us across the Delaware Valley that are stoked to see you guys not only tonight at the Milk Boy, but you're going to be coming back through the area. July 28th, Mount Airy Casino up in the Poconos. You're going to be with the Struts and the Glorious Sons, which, again, is going to be an amazing tour. I interviewed the brothers from Glorious Sons 6-8 months ago, and they were up in New York the night before, and they were partying their asses off the night before, and we were taking pictures. This was like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they still reeked of booze. Had to do the show that night, and I was just like, to be a rock star like that, which is so cool. Also, August 6th, Bottle and Cork down in Dewey Beach, Delaware, which is not too far from the Philadelphia area here. Again, that's with the Struts and the Glorious Sons. The tour is going to be a party. I know the Glorious Sons like to get banged up, especially the brothers. The Struts aren't one to turn down a good time either. I know that. But before I let you go, I understand you guys like a good fish and chips, and I was wondering what the best place out of UK or hometown to grab fish and chips for you guys.
There is, the best place to go in the UK for fish and chips is Brighton, potentially, because you're next to the sea. So you want to get next to the ocean.
The sea.
You want to get down to Brighton, I'd say. And then they're just along the seafront. Or Margate. It's really good for fish and chips.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I printed this out. This is the 15 best places in Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
To get fish and chips. I don't know if you'll be near anywhere, but there's like comments with each and what's good and stuff.
You're amazing.
So enjoy your time while you're here in Philly. Enjoy some fish and
chips. Thank you.
We're stoked to have you here. Again, the show is tonight at the Milk Boy, 11th and Chestnut in Center City. Doors are at 7 o'clock. Showtime, 8 o'clock. Again, the tickets are on sale now for the Struts and the Glorious Sons, which are coming back through. And we wish you the best of luck. I know
this is
great for you guys, and I know you have a lot of traveling to do and a lot of faces to melt and all that kind of stuff, too. And thanks for taking the time to speak with us at MMR. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure. All right, Carmen and Rosie from Bones. Yay! Thank you very much. Woo-hoo! Thanks for listening, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.